Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus, where our lives are going to be deeply transformed by the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. So in the last episode, this is episode 2, in the last episode, we saw how Jesus was so passionate about the message of the gospel. He was so passionate. He was given to it. Everybody heard Jesus preach. Everybody that crossed his path heard him preach. It was clear that there was an overwhelming passion for the gospel. He came to preach the word of God. Jesus was hungry once upon a time at John 4. He was hungry, feeling tired. His disciples had gone to find him food. Before they came back, he was already engaging a woman by the well, preaching the gospel. By the time they brought the food, he couldn't eat anymore. He was already feeling satisfied because he just preached the gospel. The disciples puzzled. They asked themselves, has somebody brought Master some food to eat? And then Jesus will respond to them. He says, I have food which you know not of. My food is to do the will of him that has sent me and to finish his work. He had found fulfillment and satisfaction in the fact that he was able to communicate the truth, was able to communicate the facts of the gospel, was able to communicate the gift of eternal life to a woman that was lost in darkness. Glory to Jesus. That was how consuming, that was how overwhelming, that was how passionate, Jesus was for the gospel. Glory be to God. So we said Every Day with Jesus is about what Jesus would be doing if he were to be here physically. Because every preacher of the gospel must see himself as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 5, so then we are ambassadors for Christ and we are pleading as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled to Christ. So every preacher of the gospel is a representative of Christ. We are to do what Jesus would do. So as I preach, I'm trusting to serve as a representative and ambassador of Christ to present to you what Jesus would have loved to present to you every day if he were to be here physically. Hallelujah. So let's turn again to Mark 1:14. Bible says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Glory be to God. Bible says Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now we must quickly state this, that the gospel is one. There's only one gospel. There's a sect that believes that the gospel that Jesus taught was the gospel of the kingdom of God, separate from the gospel we are preaching today. So when you talk about Jesus' death and resurrection, they are just waiting for you to land. And then when you are done, they say, it's not really about his death and resurrection. It's about the kingdom. Hallelujah. But then the gospel of the kingdom of God is the gospel of our salvation. Glory be to God. It is not separate. It's not a different concept or a different gospel apart from the announcement of his death, the fact of his death and resurrection. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, except the man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. So you see that the gospel of the kingdom of God has to do with the new birth. And a man is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God if he is not preaching salvation by faith in Christ. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not based on the Beatitudes. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not based on moral codes. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not a separate teaching for deeper Christians. Someone says, well, you can be saved, but after you get saved, you must now press into the kingdom. No, Jesus says, for being saved, you are in the kingdom. The man that is born of the Spirit of God has entered the kingdom of God. So the gospel of Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. And there are different descriptions of this gospel in the Bible. Different descriptions, but the same gospel. Praise God. Different descriptions, but the same gospel. So while it is called the gospel of the kingdom, kingdom means a realm, reign, rule, authority, power. We are translated into the kingdom of God by the new birth. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. So you see that the man that believes in the gospel, the man that is saved, the man that receives the new birth, is the man that has entered the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:12, Bible says, giving thanks to him who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So what translates us into the kingdom of God is that we became partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This inheritance comes by the new birth. So it's the same gospel. So while it's called the gospel of the kingdom of God, it is also called the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24, the gospel of the grace of God. And it is the same thing. Because it's by the grace of God we are saved. Glory be to God. It's by the same gospel, by the grace of God rather, we are saved. So a man enters the kingdom of God by believing in the grace of God. So they are essentially the same. Look at Acts 20 verse 24. Acts 20, 24. Paul speaking. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Have you seen? So it's called gospel of the kingdom at Mark 1:14. At Acts 20, 24, it's called the gospel of the grace of God. Now, amazingly, verse 25. See what Paul says. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. So he says, the ministry I have received is to testify to the grace of God. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And he further now describes this gospel of the grace of God as preaching the kingdom of God. Verse 25. Glory be to God. In fact, at Acts 1, look at this. At Acts 1, when Jesus rose again from the dead and appeared to the 12 disciples, to the 11 disciples this time around, and other disciples, and then he began to teach them, Bible says he was teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 1, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, what do you think Jesus was teaching? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What were those things pertaining to the kingdom of God? If you go to Luke's account, Luke's gospel, verse 24, same Luke that wrote the book of Acts, you see what he calls things pertaining to the kingdom of God at Luke 24. After Jesus rose again and began to appear to disciples, the crux of his teaching centered around his death and resurrection, the fulfillment of the prophecies of the prophets, the things that concern his sufferings, his death and resurrection. And that is what is referred to as the things concerning the kingdom of God. So it's not some mystical, strange, weird things that are exclusive to certain people that are deeper. No, it's the same truth. The same truth about the new birth, the same truth about how faith in Christ is the only way to be saved. That is what is referred to as the things concerning the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. So the kingdom of God, the things concerning the kingdom of God are not higher levels, higher dimensions or higher mysteries. It's the same truth, the same gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. But it's one gospel. Hallelujah. Luke 24. See this quickly. At Luke 24, I'll read from verse 25. Then he said to them, this was after he rose from the dead, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So after his resurrection, he began to explain to them the things concerning himself from the Bible, from the scriptures. This is what Acts 1:3 refers to as teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Praise God. Glory be to God. And then when we get to verse 44, it says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The things concerning the kingdom of God were things pertaining to his death and resurrection, as prophesied by the prophets. Glory be to God. So there are no different gospels. It's just one gospel. So we've seen it's called the gospel of the kingdom. It's also called the gospel of the grace of God. It's by the grace of God we gain access into the kingdom of God. It's called the gospel of Christ. Mark 1:1, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. There's the gospel of Christ, which is the same gospel of the grace of God, which is the same gospel of the kingdom. Glory be to God. Many times in scriptures, you should pay attention to things that are synonyms. Do you understand? Now, synonyms, in English, they may not mean the same thing, but in the context of these spiritual realities, you discover that they mean the same. They are saying the same things. They are essentially the same. So gospel of the kingdom of God is synonymous with gospel of the grace of God, and that is synonymous with the gospel of Christ. It's the same. So it's also called the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that perish, whom the God of this world has blinded, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. It's the same gospel. This is what is also referred to as the gospel of God. The same. Romans 1:1. Romans 15:16. The gospel of God. The gospel of the blessed God. 1 Timothy 1:11. The gospel of peace. It's by this gospel we have peace with God. Romans 10:15. Ephesians 6:15. The gospel of peace. It's also called the gospel of your salvation. Ephesians 1:13. In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. And it's the same gospel. There's a scripture, there's a particular verse of the Bible that is often misconstrued. Galatians chapter 2. There are no two gospels. Hallelujah. Listen, there are no two gospels. It's just one gospel. So all these descriptions are not in any way suggesting that they are different gospels. They only further describe and expound on what the gospel represents. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So at Galatians chapter 2 verse 7, you find a verse of the Bible. Someone said this to me some years back. Said, you know, but we all have different messages now. Even Paul had a different message from Peter. And Peter himself had a different message. And they both acknowledged it and all that. I said, that's not true. Galatians 2. Look at this quickly at Galatians chapter 2 verse 7. Paul speaking, he says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Now, some have taught this to mean that Paul had a gospel for the uncircumcised and Peter had a gospel for the circumcised. They were not preaching two different gospels to these people. He was talking about their audiences. The people they were sent to at different times. So Paul reached out to the Gentiles. You know, Paul referred to himself as an apostle of the Gentiles. Though he was preaching to Jews, but he referred to him because he had more reach. He reached out to Gentiles a lot. He had a massive reach in those regions. So he referred to himself as the apostle of Gentiles. But it's just one gospel, both to the Jew and the Greek, both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, first to the Jew and then to the Greeks. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the same gospel to the Jew is the same gospel to the Greeks. The same. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at this quickly. 1 Corinthians 1. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The same gospel. The same gospel. The same truth to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. So at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at from verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Verse 22, point of emphasis. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Have you seen? The Jews request a sign. We preach Christ crucified. The same message. The gospel is what is called Christ crucified. So the Greeks are seeking wisdom. We say Christ crucified. To the Jews, it became a stumbling block. To the Greeks, they considered it foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Because it is one gospel. The same gospel. The same gospel. One gospel. The same gospel. Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. So there are no different gospels. I don't have a gospel. You don't have a gospel. I don't have a someone says the gospel to the poor is food. That's not true. While it is good to be philanthropic, while it is good to help people out to meet needs, the gospel to the poor is not food. The gospel to the poor is not food. The gospel to the destitute is not clothing and shelter. The gospel to the rich is the gospel of Christ. The gospel to the poor is the gospel of Christ. An announcement of what Jesus did on the cross, his death and resurrection, is the same gospel, the same essence. Hallelujah. Because when you read through scriptures, Bible does not say all are poor. It doesn't say all are rich. It says all have sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, irrespective of their economic status, irrespective of their social status, irrespective of anything, irrespective of their lack, their need, their abundance. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have concluded both Jews and Greeks that they all are under sin. Romans 3. All have sinned. So this is why the message has a universal application. It is relevant to all men because all have sinned. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace, which is in Christ Jesus. The same gospel. Both to the young and to the old, the literate, the illiterate, the poor, the rich, the less privileged, the most privileged, the same gospel. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. Look at this now. Romans chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. From verse 9. Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no different gospel to the Jew and a different gospel to the Greeks. It's the same gospel. Same gospel with the same facts, with the same truth, with the same realities. Jesus' death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, by which a man, any man that believes in him is saved. It's the same gospel. Praise God. The same God. In fact, this is why when the Jews rejected the gospel, there was no other way out. John 1:11, he came to his own did not receive him. As many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Bible doesn't say the Jews did not receive him, then he now invented a gospel to suit them in their unbelief. No. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, because it's just one gospel. If you reject this one gospel, you cannot be saved. There are no two gospels. So it's either you receive the gospel and you are saved, or you don't receive the gospel and you are not saved. The gospel has a precise revelation. John 3:16, as basic, as popular as it is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, it's just one gospel, a revelation of God's love and his grace and his mercy. The man that believes is saved. The man that does not believe is not saved. It's just one gospel. Hallelujah. It's just one gospel. That's why the Jews could miss it, and there was no other gospel for them. That's why in the book of Acts of Apostles, we found many places where the Jews rejected the ministry of the apostles. They rejected what they taught concerning Jesus' resurrection, and there was no other way. They didn't invent a message to suit them in their unbelief. Praise God. And Romans 10:1, Paul laments, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He was lamenting because Israel had missed out on the plan of God by not reposing faith in the facts of the gospel of Christ, in the facts of the resurrection, in the facts that Jesus died and he rose again, and by faith in him, a man is called righteous apart from his works. It's just one gospel. Glory be to God. So it's called the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of the glory of Christ. It's called the gospel of God, the gospel of the blessed God, the gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation, numerous and diverse descriptions, but it is the same gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hallelujah. We'll continue to explore this truth in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Have a spirit-filled day.